have looked at books. I have read books that will teach you how to grow your church. I've never seen one of those authors volunteer to come to the individual church and actually do that. So I don't know how much truth there is. But I do know that if God put it in the Scriptures, it's right. It is approved. It is foolproof, and nothing can shatter it if we will follow it. So as we look at that, one of the things that we see is that the people came together on a daily basis. We eliminate that, don't we? Because we come on Sunday mornings at either the early service to Sunday school and to the 11 o'clock service, and usually we don't meet, maybe Wednesday night, but they met on a daily basis. And so as we look at that, we see that thousands were added daily. And the reason that was there was because there was so much encouragement. There was so much upbuilding of one another. They lifted up one another. They prayed for one another. And they were excited to go out into their what? Neighborhoods and tell others about Jesus. Do we have that same kind of enthusiasm today in Christianity? Are the churches in Christianity today that excited about Jesus Christ that they can't wait to go out and tell others about it? If we were, then we would see what? People coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. As we think of the story of Bill Cosby, his mother, when she grew up, was very poor, and Bill and them were very poor, and she would just do whatever she needed to do to get by. Well, when the kids grew up, they began to buy her presents and things like toaster ovens and pop-up toasters and things like that for her to use to make it easier for her in the kitchen. And Bill says he remembered one time coming home, and as he did, he came down for breakfast and looked, and his mother was doing the toast the same old way, putting the butter on it, sticking it in the oven, and cooking it. And when he says, "Mom, we bought you a toaster oven to use," she just said, "Hush, it's up on there. I like doing it the old way." Things change, don't they? We change a lot. We can all look back in our lives and see things that we have done that we don't do it that way anymore. Things do change in our lives. And we see a changing world today that is changing about us, and we don't know what to do with that changing world. Stop for just a second, if you would, and think back. For those of you that can do that anyway, how has this world changed, and how has our lives changed in the last 50 years with technology? It's been a whirlwind for those that came along before all of that, didn't it? To think about it. Today, our kids don't think much about technology because they were born into it. But we were not. And it has been a major run of things in life as we look at technology and the way things are coming. FDR once said, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." Churches are beginning to have to make a change in the way that we reach people today. We have opportunities to reach everybody in this world today more than ever before. With just a click of a button, we can text, we can email, we can do video chats. I mean, you could talk to somebody in China and sit there and watch them on screen while you talk to them, can't you? I mean, it's changed drastically. Before, we couldn't do that. We weren't so bad as to send a message in the bottle type deal, but it's in between those two, isn't it? And so as we think about it, we see that we should not fear or be fearful of spiritual gifts, but rather we should embrace those gifts that God has given us. God also promised that not only will He give us a gift, or gifts, but He has also promised us what? The ability to use them, hadn't He? I like some of the shows on TV, especially those that do the sing-offs and some of those, to see some of the natural, raw ability of some people versus those that are trained. It's amazing that this person has such a natural ability, and this one has a voice that's just as good, but they had to work to it. And for it to get to that point. And so as we see, God gives us abilities, doesn't He? We just need to use those abilities. Whether it's better than someone else, it doesn't matter. It just simply says where to use them. But as Paul was writing to the Corinthians, we see this background. We see that they have been misled or misguided, and they had some thoughts and whatnot. So the first thing he says is be informed. in verses 1 through 3. Be informed. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant. God does not want us to be ignorant people, does he? He wants us to be intelligent. He wants us to learn. He wants us to grow. And Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant, people. I want you to understand. I want you to know. He says, now about spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant. That means it must be something special. If he says about the spiritual gifts, right? I do not want you to be ignorant about it. So as he's telling us that, he is telling us to listen, to learn, and then to take advantage of what he has given us. And so as we look at this, we are informed about it. It was the problem here that they were looking at other things that were going on. They had the pagan world and they had the Christian world, and they were trying to put the two together back in the days of Rome. Does that sound familiar today? What are we trying to do today? We're trying to take the world and we're trying to take Christianity and what? Blend them in together, aren't we? We want both the worlds. We want part of this and part of that. It's not an either-or decision for us, is it? We do not choose one or the other, but we want to mix it in together. So as we look at that, he says we need to understand, and that we don't need to stick our heads in the ground and just assume that it will go away, but to take a look at it. Some people look at spiritual gifts as weird. Have you ever met a person that loved Jesus so much, or at least we thought he did, or she did? They came up to you and they said, oh, look at me, I'm such a good Christian. You need to be just like me. I don't like those kind of people, do you? I don't think it's of God, number one, because I don't think God wants me to be like somebody else. He wants me to be like him. And so we need to copy God, not one another. And so as we think about that, we see people, and we even have called them Jesus freaks. Have you ever heard that term? Are you one of those Jesus freaks? Are you a weirdo? Well, if that means following Jesus, then yes, I am. And we need to realize that we are not to be ashamed, but we're not to treat our spiritual gifts as being weird or awkward or something like that. Yes, you may be scared. You may not want to necessarily do what God has called you to do, and that's okay. I've fought it for years. I can speak from personal experiences from time after time. This is not my favorite place to be standing right now. I've always been a follower, not a leader. And so it's sometimes difficult for me to be a leader when I would much prefer being a follower. So we need to understand that it's not weird or awkward, but it's what God has called us to do, and he has a reason for us to do it. If he didn't think we would do it or could do it, do you think he would even ask? I don't believe so. I don't think God is going to ask us to do something that is impossible. God is not a God that fails, is he? God is a God that gets things done. And if he wants us to do something, we can do it because he has given us. Secondly, we see that be inclusive in verses 4 to 6. We see there are diversities of gifts. He says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. So one is blessed to preach. One is blessed to preach. One is blessed to sing and to teach. And they're all great and important, but not one is more than the other, is it? Because it's all for the glory of God that we do it. Paul further says that as we see these gifts, that there are different kinds of workings, but the same God. As we talked last week, we talked about our human bodies and how much it takes for different parts of the body to work together in order for it to work. For the foot to move, what does it take muscle-wise, bone-wise, nerve-wise, brainwave-wise, for all of that just to move the foot? And the job that the foot has is to what? Carry the body. Carry the body. Could you imagine the ears trying to carry the body? Or could you imagine your feet trying to hear? Well, preacher, that makes sense. Silly. It may be, but that's the importance of it. We have parts that are used for certain things, and that's the same way with the church. God has given us all gifts, and we work as a body in believers in Jesus Christ. We have to work together to carry the load. And he says there are differences, and we have the role of serving. Not everybody can be a church secretary or a Sunday school director or a Sunday school teacher or a preschool worker or a children's worker. You may not be able to be those types of things, but God has still given you something to use and to serve for him that will just be for the same thing, and it will still be all for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6, he says, there are different kinds of workings, but the same God or same operations, works of them and all the men. We see that the variety of the body comes together. There is more than just one. All of you do the same thing over and over, gets boring. And how many of you get boring if you do the same thing? When I worked construction, I loved it. You know why I loved it? We would spend 3 or 4 months over here, maybe a couple weeks over here, and then we'd move over here, and then this job was ready for us to come back and do work in. And it kept me from being bored. When I sit in front of a computer to study even God's Word, to prepare sermons, there are times that I look at that screen, and then I look out, and that's why I picked that office over that I did. I can look out the window because I'm bored. And I have to apologize to God. Says, God, I'm bored. But I also think that God does not want worship to be boring. And we should not be bored. We should be excited. That was the thing of the early church in Acts. They were excited and they worshiped Jesus. They raised their voices and they taught and they sang and they were excited about Jesus. How is our worship today? Have we worshiped yet today? We started at 11 o'clock in this worship service, but have we begun to worship individually yet? Shouldn't we have started worship this morning when we woke up? Shouldn't that have been when worship started? Shouldn't we be praying for this service this morning that God will just take us and encourage us with one another and that we will finish up here leaving excited and built up? Let's be honest. How many times have we left church at 12 o'clock or heaven's the bid 12:05 and been bored, and the only thing we could think of was how dare the preacher to go over 12 o'clock? How many times have we left this church excited versus the times being bored? Worship is not just a choir singing, just not her getting music together, me preparing a sermon and presenting it. That's not worship, folks. That's part of worship. But worship comes when we pray for one another, pray for each one to bring our music and bring it in here that it lifts up. And as we sing it, we should be thinking of what? The words. If you look at the words in most of the hymns that we have, most of those words are very uplifting and challenging. If we are just singing the words, it means nothing, does it? The words, the music. Janet singing had a message this morning. It wasn't just a pretty song. It didn't say, Janet, did you look and say, oh, that looks like a nice song. I think I'll sing it Sunday. She prayed about it. She searched for it and found the right song this morning. That's what it's all about, folks. It's all of us worshiping here together, getting excited about the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then carrying it outside. There's more than just one. God gives us a variety in our worship. There are all types of worship. Some people say, oh, well, I can't worship except at 11 o'clock. Worship is all day long, folks. It's anytime, any place, anywhere. I mean, face it, how many of you listen to music in your radio and you look and you're tapping your feet or tapping your hand or your head gets to bobbing? If you look next door, some of them are really getting into it. How many of those people are listening to contemporary music or any kind of music and worshiping God in the car or listening to a Bible tape or something like that? Worship is when we come together, not as just a body of believers, but when we come together with God and we worship and fellowship with Him. That's what it's all about. And that's what we should be taking with us to go. And then finally, he said, be incorporated in verses 8 through 12. It's not for our profit. It's not anything that we're going to do. We're not going to get riches on this earth or in heaven for the things that we do and say, oh, look at what I did. You know, one of the things we used to do that I'm glad we don't do as much anymore is to give out the pens for 100%, never miss a Sunday in a year. That's great, folks, but what good is that if you didn't get anything out of it? Yeah? We come, what? Not for our profit. Paul says in verse 7, now to each one of the manifestations of the Spirit is given the common good. The Holy Spirit gives to all of us, not just to a handful, not to those that are just qualified, not those that are just good or intelligent, but to all of us He gives. Acts 2:17 says, in the last day, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people, not just a few. He no longer is selective. You remember in the Old Testament, God's chosen people were the Israelites, not the Egyptians, not the Amalekites, not the Canaanites, not any of them, but God's chosen people, and they were selective. But when Jesus came on this earth and died on the cross, He died for who? Not just the Jews, not just the Israelites, but for everybody. The Romans, the Egyptians, the Americans, all of us. He died for every one of us. And Paul says, and these gifts are for common good. It doesn't mean that we are to feel important or feel better than anybody else. He doesn't give it to us to make us more spiritual than anyone else. He gives it to us to use for His glory. He gives words of wisdom, the Scripture says, a word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing and miracles and prophecy, discerning spirits and tongues and interpretation. He gives it to people as is needed, and not anyone is better than the other. God does all of this, to build up the body and to encourage the saints. Now, I'm glad that we don't pick saints and we have saints, because my understanding of that word saints means that we all in this building this morning are saints. Now, I know my mother's a saint, and I always say she's a saint, and she is. Not because of what she did with me and the way she raised me up, but because she is a believer in Jesus Christ, and she is a saint, just as each one of us are saints this morning. We're to be used of God. He gives each one of us those gifts, and He says that when we don't use those gifts, we hurt the body. We hurt the body. Now, how do you understand that? It's simply this. How many of you have pulled a muscle in a shoulder or a knee or something like that? And how is it when you hurt your knee, you walk? It hurts. Or a hip. You try to do that walking, and the next thing you know, you got a limp because it's what? It's hurting, isn't it? And so the whole body is still functioning, but what it? The knee is hurting, or the hip is hurting. And this is the same concept. We're all here as a body of our Lord Jesus Christ, but when one's not working, it hurts the whole body. Does that make sense? Well, this is what He's trying to tell us this morning. Our attitude should be, for God, use me today. When we begin to pray and seek God's will and ask for Him to use us, He will. The problem is this. We don't see necessarily every day opportunities that God gives us, do we? That's the key. When you begin to pray and say, God, give me opportunities to serve You and to serve others, you better be looking for them. You better be listening and be attentive, because God will give you that opportunity. He gives it to us every day. I don't want to be like the person that stood before God and said, when did I see You, Jesus? And He says, I was thirsty and You didn't give me drink. I was hungry and You didn't feed me. I don't want to be that type of person, do you? I want to be that type of person that if he was thirsty, I gave him drink. And to know that I have seen Jesus each and every day of my life. We don't need to fear those spiritual gifts. We need to take advantage of them and use them. As nominating committee, our equipping team, as we call it, as they start meeting for our upcoming year, one of the things that they will be doing is praying, but they will also be searching, where are the people to serve? How can we find people to serve? And granted, we're humans. So as we try to look for God's people to work, we sometimes use human methods and we think about people, but some people we don't think about. But if we are all beginning to share and discover our gifts and make those gifts aware, then how much easier would it be for the equipping team to begin to find people? And instead of seeing the same name in 15 different jobs, you can see different names where different people are serving God through different types of ministries. So as we think about spiritual gifts this morning, God has given each person at least one gift. Number two, God expects us to use the gift He gave us. The question this morning, are we using that gift? Do we know what it is? And are we putting it to full use for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ? The old song says, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Folks, what the world needs now is God's sweet love. We have it. Are we giving it to others? Let us pray. Father, we thank You this morning for this opportunity to look into Your Word and to see, and as Paul taught to those at Corinth about their situation of trying to put pagan and Christianity together, Father, we come this morning knowing that we have such a challenge to separate ourselves from the rest of this world. We know that we're in this world, but Father, help us not to be transformed, but to be transformed in the name of Jesus Christ, separate from this world. Father, give us the abilities, the strength, and most important, let us claim, as we sung earlier this morning, the victory that You've given us through Jesus Christ our Lord. In His name we pray. Amen.